Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, August 22nd. Trucking through.
Almost through August. Pretty soon, Labor Day. Then,
it's the season of the witch.
We get to the real exciting part of the year, which is October, when everything starts to kick off.
Just a little spookier, although I'm getting the targeted ads now. I just got a targeted ad for an 11.5-foot animatronic Mothman. And I was like, what a perfect object to replace my tree that fell down in the front yard year-round.
What a perfect object. It is a year-round yard piece.
Do they think that? I don't know. I don't care.
Do they pay your property taxes or your mortgage?
Bingo.
Doesn't matter.
Bingo.
They have a whole statue dedicated to him in Point Pleasant that's up year-round for all to see. So I feel like you're bringing culture to our community.
That's what I think, too. The only thing is none of the display pictures, like when you go to the website, they don't show the cake. None of them show the cake. I need to know if it's a real sculpture or not.
Yeah, you need a 360 before you 360. Press buy.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nancy's got a project.
Heather's got me putting a fat ass on her Mothman animatronic figurine. Just another project. Oh my gosh. Well, what a time. She heard me talk about, by the way, she heard me mention mini fridge in the BOCO we recorded.
Oh gosh. Do you got one now? You do not.
Look what she did. She's.
She got you a little fridge. She's like, that's so sweet.
She's like, that way when y'all are doing the Q&A, you got your drinks in there.
That's a really smart idea. Well, Nancy's come through once again. Paris doesn't have to bring me my drink halfway through.
For real. But I'm sure he still would love to, especially if we clean the fridge out. But
I feel like if I get a fridge and my kids can access it, it's like never going to have what it's supposed to have in it. I'm going to be like, where's Luna? And then she's like, in the little fridge.
What happened? Little tiny guinea claws on the side of a can. Oh, I would pay money to see that. So I told you got to do a guinea pig Subway, or like that girl on Sunday Scaries where the guinea pigs were doing tug of war with their little treats.
I need to get on a Zoom with her, because I believe she's in Australia, and ask, what did you do to let them? She probably is just a lovely person that handles them daily, which I think you got to do to get them used to you. We don't pick them up as often as some, because they don't want us to, you know.
Yeah, and they don't
I don't want to force them. So But they do like us very much and enjoy us. Not as much as like food that we bring them and things like that.
They're like the large ones that rain down pellets on us. But they are, I mean, someday I feel like you'll be able to pick them up. But in the meantime, we still have the rabbit outside.
I can pick them up. But it's usually for grooming.
True.
Bath and nails. Please don't come at me in the comments. I'm not grooming my guinea pigs for nefarious things. I got a bunny in the backyard. He was out there last night.
Oh, they can all share hay.
I was chilling, doing Freaky Friday, turned. He was just chomping on some grass, stared at me. I said, hey, buddy, I didn't even notice you there. And we just chilled in the same vicinity for quite some time. It was nice.
I love to think that like the bunny is like, oh, she's out here again. Yeah. What's up? Like the opposite, like, vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, bunny thinks that's bunny's backyard.
Well, the bunny is, like I said, one of our familiars. We've been gearing up for our October 4th Texas theater show, Season of the Witch. It's coming to you live. We're going to get you streaming information as soon as we have it. But go ahead and get your ticket for the in-person, because we're like talking about energetically getting something moving. We're concocting it now, but you want to be, we can all do it digitally as well, but you might want to be in the room where it happens for maximum power.
Maximum power is correct. Yes. Speaking October 4th, Texas Theater, Season of the Witch. It's going to be a ton of fun. Go to sinisterhood.com to get your tickets now. And yeah, we'll keep you posted on virtual. Maybe I can get the girl from Australia to tune in and get some guinea questions answered.
Give me some guinea advice. So yeah, check out that page also has Crime Wave tickets as well. So get it all there. But in the meantime, we've got 6 stories lined up with some with connections to new news stories, old news stories, and all are riveting. Came through. Thank you, dude.
As always. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Anonymous. It's called Don't Let the Strange Man in Your Camper. Content warning, this describes a mass shooting. Hello, ladies. I love your podcast. My fiance and I listen to it regularly during long road trips across our beautiful state of Montana. We love living here because of the beautiful sights, easy access to get away from people, and relatively low crime rates. We hardly ever make national news because, well, that just doesn't happen here. But when it does, you find that everyone you know has been affected in some way. Earlier this month, on August 1st, I was sitting at lunch with my mom when I noticed a breaking news headline, Anaconda on lockdown due to an active shooter. What the fuck? That is the sort of stuff that does not happen here. Everyone was in shock. Anaconda is one of our smaller towns. It's located about 30 minutes from the slightly larger town of Butte, where my small family and I live. According to reports, Michael Brown entered the bar and shot and killed 4 people at the Owl Bar, located in the heart of Anaconda. Brown lived in the residence next door to the bar and was a regular. Brown fled the scene and stole a truck that was loaded with camping equipment. When the police started to look, they followed a different white Ford F-150, thinking it was him. Let's be honest, there are a ton of white F-150s running around that have camping equipment in the back. The stolen F-150 was eventually found outside of the very dense forest not far from Anaconda. The police began searching the area and continued the search for 7 days. Brown was eventually found in an abandoned camper trailer behind the forest. Shortly after his name and photo were released to the public as a potential suspect to be on the lookout for, Brown's family spoke out about known mental health concerns. According to his family, Brown is a military veteran suffering from PTSD, as well as numerous other mental health struggles. They report that Brown has sought help from the VA as well as the Montana State Hospital, but unfortunately could not get the help he needed. I thought since we lived 30 minutes away and we don't know anyone from Anaconda, that we would not come face to face with those who were affected. Boy, was I wrong. I encountered the man whose truck was stolen. He told me how the FBI were continually asking him about the gear he had in his truck, down to what kind of shirt material he had. A few hours later, I spoke to a man who had his house searched by the FBI. A few more hours later, the owners of the Owl Bar came into work. They spoke and worked with one of my coworkers for a while regarding repairs. Afterward, my coworker had to take a walk because of the anxiety and sadness she was feeling from the interaction. They told her how they've known Brown for years because he frequented the bar. One of them told her, "I hope they don't find him." The owners of the bar told my coworker that Brown had set a pizza box on fire and set it on the floor. When the three patrons and one bartender rushed to the fire to put it out, Brown shot and killed each of them before fleeing the scene. Today, my fiancé told me how he heard through the grapevine that the owner of the, quote, abandoned camper trailer knew Brown was in there and did not tell anyone. He was found because the owner of the camper told his neighbor that he'd found Brown, cold, wet, and hungry. We had thunderstorms every night that week. And so he told him he could stay in the camper and gave him some food and water. The neighbor told him that he was going to call the cops if he didn't. I'm glad he was found, alive. I'm so glad that he will eventually have to sit in the courtroom and face the four families that were tragically robbed of a loved one. I'm so happy that maybe now Brown can finally get the help that he so desperately needs. I hope all of the people who were closely involved can also seek help. And I am so glad that we live in such a tight-knit community that continuously checks in on their neighbors to see if they need anything, especially during times like these. The local cops, the FBI, and the other cops from other counties who were came to lend a helping hand did a fantastic job. The area they were searching is very dense. The land is rough and covered with downfall, and there are many miles upon miles of it. Brown could have literally been anywhere in these mountains. Anaconda is surrounded by an abundance of public lands like these. Hell, it is Montana. He could have driven 15 minutes down the road in any direction and literally disappeared. As I've mentioned earlier, a lot of this has been rumor and is still an ongoing investigation. We'll see what the trail reveals. I can send an update once the trial ends. I love you guys. Keep it creepy and be careful who you let in your camper. And the victims of this tragic crime were 59-year-old Daniel Bailey, 64-year-old Nancy Kelly, 70-year-old David Leach, and 74-year-old Tony Palm.
Oh, thank you so much for writing in, Anonymous, and sharing your perspective on it. I mean, we've seen this in the news, and it is.
I don't remember seeing this. I was surprised by this.
Oh, I had only seen that there was a manhunt, and then I saw the shooting, and then I kept just seeing updates of the manhunt, and yeah. I was thinking exactly what you said, Anonymous, which is there's a lot of places for him to be hiding out there. I'm glad the person that knew something said something, because with a perpetrator like this, they are not making great decisions, and it might be that if law enforcement stumbles upon them and they're like, you know, rather than telling law enforcement they're in there and they do a targeted, you know, a raid of him, that it could be a standoff, a fire, other people are injured. So I'm glad he was recovered. Nobody else got hurt.
Yeah, it's unbelievably tragic. From the article links Anonymous sent, his family and records show that he was deployed to Iraq for a little over a year. He was stationed somewhere else too, I believe. And afterwards, his family said he was never the same, that his mental health problems increased significantly, and he was just a totally changed person. And we see that a lot with veterans. And for him not to be able to receive any benefits to help him with that after all he went through is egregious.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think we can't underestimate how there's a lyric in an Adeem the Artist song, Middle of the Heart, where it says, "I came home haunted by the lives my duty called." That it's like, thank you for defending our country. But at the end of it, and Kurt Vonnegut's writing a lot about the war was that way too, where it's like, wars overall are horrible, but they are fought by individual people. Yeah. And those individuals bear a separate burden than the burden we all bear, than the burden of the people that the other side bears as well. And it's just like this heaviness and this danger. And these are deaths as a result of lack of care for veterans. I mean, that's why these four people were gunned down, because this gentleman sounds like did not get access to resources coming back from something that's really going to make a difference. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in that, but go get the help so that this does not happen.
Yeah. And but that's the help available to veterans when they need that help.
Sounds like he tried.
The quote from one of the owners of the bar, I hope they don't find him, has stuck with me because I'm curious why, was it because he was a friend of ours and I can't imagine facing him and we'd rather him just disappear into the woods? Did they feel pity for him because they knew he was struggling and what he had been through, and or they were so angry that they didn't ever want to see him again? You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways, I guess, that could be interpreted.
That's a really good point. Of like, I took it initially as maybe like, I understand that he's going through a lot, but that's a good point too. There's so many different facets of emotions going on here. And a place like this, you can't help but be affected by it because we truly are all connected. It's more apparent in a smaller community. I think the connections are clearer, but I think we just saw, and it was a large community and a large scale tragedy, but with the Kerr County floods, where it's these incidents do ripple out, whether you physically know somebody or not. And a small town, you know, even a mass shooting of 4 people in a small town, that means everybody knows somebody that's hurting from this
for sure,
in some way, from one side of the gun or the other.
Yeah. And thinking about the anonymous's coworker who has to talk with the bar owners about repairs. Those are things that you don't really think about at the time, but that is the aftermath, mm-hmm. and how heavy that is for those people to carry. I mean, you know, like, she doesn't know anything about what's going on, and now she's going to hear about the damage that was done. You know, it just like mm-hmm. puts you in a perspective perhaps you didn't ever want to be in, but you're there to help. It's just that ripple effect that you never know who this is going to involve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the answer is usually everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Anonymous, for that firsthand account of thinking, you know, when you see it in the mm-hmm. news, you understand the gravity of the loss of the lives. But perspectives like these, I think, always tend to shed light on the other areas that we maybe couldn't even think of. You can't even fathom how bad it is.
Yeah. Well, I hope your community is healing, and we'll keep our eyes on this too for mm-hmm. when the trial comes around for sure.
Sinisterhood will be right back. I'll tell you what, my chompers are pretty important. My parents spent a lot of money getting them all in braces, and then I like to use them in my everyday life for eating. And as a kid, I thought that just no matter what you ever did, your teeth just fell out. Not true. I think you can, if you take care of them, they can last a pretty good time. And I try to take care of mine by going to the dentist. I try to take care of them also by using my wonderful Remy. If you're part of the 30% of Americans who grind their teeth, then your smile needs protection. There's no better solution than Remy's Custom Fit Night Guard. Both dentists and teeth grinders recommend Remy because a Custom Fit Night Guard is the best way to protect your teeth, and Remy is 80% less than the dentist and way easier. Here's how it works. Basically, you receive this impression kit straight to your door. Remy gives you step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression. I'm not great at instructions sometimes. I panic. I'm worried if I'm doing them right. And you know what? They could not have made it easier. You just mix the stuff together. It comes with like white and blue, and you get it together, and it tells you exactly the color it's supposed to be and how you put it into the tray. It could not be easier. Then Remy ships you your custom fit night guard made in the U.S. in Las Vegas. Get your night guard back and start protecting your teeth. The best part is Remy is so confident that you will get a perfect fit. They offer a 45-night perfect fit guarantee or your money back. I just told Christy recently, I feel like high quality products always are offering this, where they're like, we know you're going to love this and we will back our product up. And Remy's doing that. They're backing up their product, and that's why we love them. No waiting rooms, no overpriced bills, just a better way to protect your teeth while you sleep. Try Remy risk-free at shopremy.com/sinister and use code sinister to get up to 50% off your night guard at checkout. That's 50% off at shopremi.com/sinister with code sinister. Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode.
Well, this next one's from Stacy, and it's called My Dad, the Unexpectedly Witchy Cop. Hello, lovely ladies. I'm a longtime listener and absolutely love the show. I recommend Sinisterhood to anyone who'll listen. I feel like a bit of a creeper calling you my friends when I know such intimate facts, like pooping in a bag and tossing it in a parking lot, or forcing your older sister to take you with her while sneaking out at night, only to make her turn around because you had to poop. lots of pooping. To feel slightly less creepy, I'm a stay-at-home mom to an incredibly smart, funny, and outgoing four-year-old named Vera. She starts pre-K this fall, and I'll be returning to the workforce. Huge life changes for our little family. Okay, intros out of the way, I'm writing to share a little about my dad. We lost him in 2014 to a heart attack, unexpectedly and far too soon, less than 2 weeks after he retired from his position as a sergeant with the local sheriff's office. It was traumatic and awful, as you'd expect. Sometimes I worry he might have been a red hat. He worked in a rural department for almost 30 years. But thankfully, I'll never know for sure. Silver linings and shit, I guess. Yes, his sister once came at me on Facebook for sharing a liberal post, saying he'd be so disappointed in me. But that judgment never came from him. I choose to believe the man I knew, the strict Catholic but loving father who would have had an open heart. Whether that's true or not, that's a story I choose to carry. The reason I'm writing, though, is because I think I may have inherited some of my witchiness from him. My dad worked a lot of overnights and was a dedicated coast-to-coast with Art Bell listener. He'd tell us about parking way out in the boonies on slow nights just to look up at the stars and how sometimes he saw things he couldn't explain. He told us stories about creepy calls, one about a kid who was climbing the walls, hissing and arching his back like a cat. Probably something mental health related, but to a kid raised Catholic, it screamed demon. He loved talking about exorcisms, the rapture, and Old Testament miracles. On weekends, he'd keep us up late watching shows like Are You Afraid of the Dark or Scariest Places on Earth. My mom hated it. She was the one dealing with our nightmares when we got home from the weekend with Dad. After he passed, I found a sticky note in his desk with full moon dates he'd looked up. He'd written down when we'd next have a full moon on Halloween and on Friday the 13th. It spanned something like 10 years. Why? Who knows? But it made me smile. In the summers, he'd wait until dark to take us to playgrounds when it was finally cool enough to enjoy them. On our walks, he'd tell us stories. The one that stuck with me most was the Frogman of Cold Spring, the small Minnesota town we grew up in. I think he just wanted to scare the crap out of us, and it worked. I had nightmares for weeks. Looking back, I wonder if he'd heard about the other frogman sightings and thought it'd be fun to mess with his kids. Classic dad move. Anyway, I know this wasn't the spookiest or most thrilling story, but writing it has been therapeutic. I miss my dad, and with the way the world is right now, I find myself wondering where he would have stood politically. I want to believe that, despite everything, he would have seen through the bullshit, that the same intuition that made him a good cop would have helped him see through Trump and all the harm he's caused. Whether that's true or not, it's what I choose to believe. Thanks for reading, even if this doesn't make it on the podcast. Just getting it out of my head has been a gift. Your podcast has been a light in dark times for me. It's helped me feel less alone in my beliefs, made me laugh when I wanted to hide in a closet and cry, and made me feel like part of a community. Thank you for that. With love and spooky vibes, Stacy. P.S. Photos are for your eyes only. They are of my dad, Vera, me, my dog Violet, and baby kitty Flower.
Aww.
Well, Stacy, these pics of you and your beautiful daughter and your sweet little kitty and doggy are so sweet. And your dad looks like classic fun dad, you know, like a prank dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you ever heard of the frog man?
Yeah.
He might jump out and you're like, what? There's a frog.
The picture of you and him in the shades is iconic. And he seems like a really good dude. This one hit hard with me. I relate to this a lot. I wonder, too, a lot about my own dad, if politically where he sorry, I'm getting emotional.
No, you're fine. I think when that's what often happens when we share our stories and are vulnerable, that it reminds us that we're all alike and connected more than we sometimes realize. But that is Schrodinger's like thing, right? You can't really know whether it is or isn't. So I love, Stacy, the idea of like, what I know about my dad is that he was like a bullshit spotter and like whatever else he might have sort of, you know, already been politically that aligned. But the one thing he hated was like lying and bullshit and could, you know, if you're a cop or whatever, you're like, I'm a bullshit detector. Like, I'm not trying to be sold that. So that is, it's like a hard thing. But I think for you, your dad, who he was to you, you get to own that. And regardless of what his sister posts, like, she can't know that. And
yeah,
you're literally his DNA. So you are literally him and would know better.
And
than
what a terrible thing for your aunt to say, regardless of if he, what his or her views are. But, you know, my dad was a Republican judge. He later in life, I think, got to have a little more liberal views on things, but I often wonder what all of this would have looked like with him around. And I think about that a lot, and I was thinking about it recently, so I think that's why this one hit hard. And I also feel like I got a lot of my spookiness from him. He also loved, like, Old Testament miracles and, like, the rapture and talking about stuff like that. Because he was religious, but also enjoyed like the paranormal and spooky stuff and mysteries and stuff. So I got a lot of that from him as well. So it sounds like we have a lot in common.
There you go. Yeah, especially that kind of coast to coast vibe of like,
oh yeah,
paranormal stories or like even just like the unexplained and unknown. And I think to circle it back, the type of curious folks who are into that kind of stuff, I think, are just as skeptical on the other side of it. You know, it's like, I'm listening because it's fun. I'm not listening because I believe it. And then I'm listening because I thought we were politically aligned, but now I realize I can't believe it. So that's the corollary I draw between it. But that's the one thing, is we get to take on the traits that we love from those that have we've lost and amplify those. And so it sounds like both Stacey and you, Christy, have like, you're amplifying the fun vibes of it, like the Atlantis mystery, Bermuda Triangle vibes of it.
I like the idea, Stacey, of you get to carry whatever story you'd like with you.
100%. Well, thank you for sharing not only your story, but your beautiful family.
Thank you for sharing your sweet family, too. And that kitty looks like a stuffed animal, by the way. Love it.
The kitty's going to grow up with an attitude, too, because it's
That kitty's got sass for days. Oh, and that sweet doggy. You can just tell he is a protector over your little girl. Look
besties.
How sweet. Yes.
Besties,
well,
besties.
Thank you again for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Shopping, planning, and cooking food really can be simple and stress-free. Imagine having your weekly shopping cart filled for you and your meals for the week decided on. Taking all that work off my plate is why I love Hungry Great. Christy and I both love it. Our families are getting fed the right way with Hungry Great. After trying it ourselves, we're very surprised at how easy the whole thing is. It fills your cart for the week with meals and groceries that make sense for you. Tell you what, too, when I checked, I was like, this thing's not going to know what I like. But it really did. There's everything from salad kits, smoothies, supplements, ready-to-eat meals, stuff that the kids at Christy and Tommy's house love. It's all right there in your cart, and you can mix, match, customize, and make sure it fits what you want to eat. All of Hungry Root's recipes can be made in just 15 minutes or less. With over 15,000 recipes shipped each week, there's something for every taste and nutrition preference. Whether you're gluten-free like me, dairy-free, high-protein, focused on gut health, we all should be focused on gut health because it's gut health really leads to a lot of other stuff too. I didn't know that. You got to get your gut right. Just take a quick quiz. Let their smart cart technology recommend groceries, recipes, and supplements tailored to your tastes and your needs. Hungry Root also helps you save by reducing food waste, avoiding impulse grocery buys. Okay, that's targeted advertising for me right there. And skipping last-minute restaurant takeout. Also targeted advertising for me. Their best price program ensures you get a great value on over 100 popular products. And with our offer, you get a free item like premium protein, veggie, or a sweet treat in every box for life. Hungry Root saves me all the time. I love all their recipes where it has the ingredients right in there. Paris is the cook in our family, so it's great that he just has everything he needs. We don't have to run to the grocery store. Plus, all of their snacks are ones that I keep in my purse or my car or take with me on like walks or bike rides. And they're all healthy snacks that I know are going to help fit my nutrition needs and goals. So thanks, Hungry Root. Take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy.
Well, this next one is from Brandy B, and it's called 3 UFOs in 4 Months. Hi there, Freaky Friday story lover here, since my cousin introduced me to you back in 2021. Thank you for this platform to be able to share stories like mine that may not get told to a larger group of people otherwise, because who could believe it? Let me start by saying that I and family members have had supernatural encounters that are not quite explainable. My gran told me some years back about a large, bright light that settled on her barn in the wee hours of the morning in the Sutter Buttes and then shot over the mountain at lightning speed. My dad had a bright, bouncing light follow him alongside his car down the country road to the very same home when he was in his late teens. I guess I thought my UFO stories were relegated to them, until March of this year. It was a cloudy spring day in a very small central California town that me and my husband had just moved to this past October. We had lived in a larger nearby city for years before that. As I was driving along, having just left my acupuncture appointment and feeling nicely relaxed, a bright, shiny light caught my eye at the very top of my windshield. Think streetlight bright. But this was not night or even dusk. It was about 4 to 5 p.m. As I watched the light while trying to drive and not die, it shifted slightly to the left and I saw a metallic colored sheen. Plane? Drone? No. It continued to move slowly away and I struggled to grab my cell phone to record what I was seeing. As I watched it, it moved toward a large billowy cloud and then seemed to turn transparent. I briefly took my eyes off the object to video it, and when I glanced back up, it was gone. I regretted trying to film it. Why did I do that? I went home and told my husband what I saw, laughing the whole time because he's super practical and probably thought I was joking. But I wasn't. I wish I would have kept my eyes on the object the whole time. I would never get another opportunity like that. Until 2 weeks later. Driving down the same road in the same town, numbing out to music, until the bright, shiny light. This time, I would not be taking my eyes off of it. I watched it, bright light in the 4 to 5 p.m. hour, moving toward the big, billowy post-rain cloud and fade into a transparent white and disappear into the cloud. I called my husband before I even reached my home and told him what I saw again. What is it? What am I seeing? He had no words. I had no words. I called my mom, called my sister, told my dad. How could this be happening? How amazing it happened twice. Until July. Uncharacteristically overcast day. It looked like it might rain. So strange, I thought. This time, I was on my way home from the larger city after getting some blood drawn and driving down a country road back to my new small town. Zoning out to music, when you guessed it, bright shining light top of my windshield, 4 to 5 p.m. time frame. I watched the light moving at about the speed of a plane. No lights, no trail in the sky, nothing. And again, the bright light started to fade into white and then transparent as it headed for the big billowy cloud. I was stunned. No way this has happened 3 times. I went home and told my husband what I saw again. What is going on? My husband came up with a theory. The first time I saw the object, I had just finished my very first acupuncture appointment. Is there a connection between the two? Did some sort of portal open up that now allows me to see unidentified object in the sky? What do y'all think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandy, if your acupuncturist is so good that you end up seeing UFOs after it, let me get that name. I will fly out.
I'll fly out. That's what's happening.
Well, so this is Central California, and you moved from I had to look up where Sutter Buttes was, which I guess is the northern part of Central California, the northern part of this like Central Valley. And then you moved south. So the first of the sightings was seen by your family, and then you moved separately, which tells me it's a familial connection. I think the orbs, they're trying to tell your family line something, and the messages have not been getting through, and you are the one they're like, well, fuck it. He's not listening. Let's follow her home.
Let's follow her home. Perhaps so. The thing that stands out to me is the time frame of it happening kind of with the same weather conditions and time frame, that's what stands out to me.
Yeah,
and
that's
because
true.
We've learned from the ghost skill. We try and disprove things before we just assume. My thinking was
4 to 5. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, there's just some if you're passing on the same stretch of road, if there's some kind of shiny object or some kind of reflection that's happening at a certain time of day that's creating this type of illusion. And because all of these seem to happen post rain, you know, maybe there's something with that. It also could be it's post rain. Maybe aliens are out there flying around trying to figure out what's up.
They hide in the rain clouds. You got to hide behind. If you fly a flying saucer above a rain cloud from the ground, we wouldn't see it because the rain cloud's
that's
so thick.
True. Yeah.
Smart. I got to do it.
So I don't have an answer for what is going on. I would suggest starting to record every time you see it, the details of what the day was like, mm-hmm. the temperature, the weather, where you were on the road. And then once you kind of pinpoint or maybe triangulate an area that this is happening, you can zero in on are there any things around here that could create an anomaly like this? And if not, then you've got some other questions to explore.
Exactly. You got to go down both pathways of trying to figure out the science of it. And then also these orb visits are similar to Chris Bledsoe's description in UFO of God. So apparently that guy does great at UFO parties and alien parties. So read his book, get your stories right. You get some pull some ladies or pull some folks at these at the UFO parties. But it just as far as the light above your car while you're driving, that is what he initially saw. And that's kind of and at first he was what the fuck is this? And later on it followed him home. So all that to say is it could escalate. Maybe just read his book. That way you know what they're capable of.
For some reason, I was envisioning this as more of a craft, but yeah, if it's more like an orb or a light, then I don't know. Maybe the sheen made me think it was a craft of some sort, but if they're still alive, other people in your family that have had these experiences and kind of, get a group chat going, see who's, compare your stories.
Or a Facebook group. I mean, honestly, maybe post it anonymously, depending. But just being hey, does anybody else in this area ever see bright lights that kind of zoom off? Thoughts on what that might be? And it might be oh, yeah, actually, I work at the military base nearby and we always test our weather balloons from about 4 to 5, especially if it's rained. And you're there it is. Or you get people going, the orb came and talked to me. And that person is who you want to be friends with. So put yourself out there.
Yeah, the 4 to 5 thing is also what sticks out to me. Because
they're commuting.
Unless, yeah, maybe the aliens have a 9 to 5 and they're just leaving work earlier to be at rush hour.
Trying to listen to the radio with this lady. She keeps filming me.
I'm trying to listen to Sinisterhood. Well, hey, guys, then let us know. What are you doing up there, please?
Come visit. Come visit, please. Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, it's very interesting and I look forward to a possible update. And if you live in the Central California area and something like this has happened to you, let us know.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. Man, Chrissy sleeps in a Helix mattress. Both her kids sleep in Helix mattresses. I sleep in a Helix mattress. We love them. The best part is you basically get the luxury quality that you usually feel like, well, I'm gonna have to go to a fancy hotel to sleep in a bed like this, but it's at your house every single night. It cools you down in the summer, which is what I need. I could not stand waking up sweating in the night. And I love Helix and how they have a cooling technology that really makes sure I stay at the comfortable temperature. And I wear a Whoop band sleep tracker, and it has told me that I am getting very deep sleeps that I don't get when I'm not at home. I can tell the difference literally based on the data that if I'm sleeping at home versus if I'm not. And I always get the absolute best sleep when I'm on my Helix mattress. I don't really snore anymore. I don't toss and turn anymore. Sometimes I wake up in the same position and I'm like, how is this even possible? It's possible with Helix. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy for their Labor Day sale. Best of the Web offers starting August 15th, 2025 through September 8th, 2025, and get 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Sinisterhood. That's helixsleep.com Etsy.com/creepy for their Labor Day sale best of web offer starting August 15th, 2025 through September 8th, 2025 and get 27% off site wide. HelixSleep.com/creepy exclusive for listeners of Sinisterhood. Well, this next one is from Estrella and the subject line is My Eventful Life. Hi, Sinister Crew. I have so many stories I want to share, but so little time to cram them all in here. Anyway, let's get to some eventful things that have happened to me. My friends always say I attract weird energy, and I don't mind that. At least I have stories to tell. One is supernatural. When I was maybe 5 or 6, I shared a room with my sister. We had a room with a door that had one of those bolt locks. I don't know what they're called exactly. You just pull the metal thing out, and it locks when you push it down. Anyway, my sister and I were arguing about something, and the door slammed shut. We blamed each other, despite both arguing near our beds. When we tried to open it, it wouldn't open. We ended up crying for help, and my dad had to use a tool to cut the bolt open. Somehow, our door got slammed shut, and the bolt pulled itself into the locking position by itself. We still don't know how it happened. Another story. My sister and I were playing Pokemon Go once in my car in the nearby park. We were doing a raid and were sitting in our car with the windows slightly rolled down for air, but not all the way since we live in a not-so-good area. Well, a woman showed up, mumbling something I couldn't understand, talking about oxtail. She reached into her tote bag and pulled out a vacuum-sealed oxtail from a grocery outlet nearby and pushed it into my window for me to have, and then walked away. I didn't go back to that park since, and no, I did not eat that lukewarm oxtail she gave me. The last story is funny because I survived, so you guys can have a laugh too. I was eating pho with my bestie. We had a booth seat and sat across from each other. My favorite way to eat pho is getting the rare steak on a separate plate and a small bowl of broth so I can warm them up to my liking. Something I still struggle with is chewing my food properly. When I eat something that requires chewing, I chew maybe a few to several times, then swallow. You know where this is going. So, as I was scarfing down my rare steak, I tried to swallow it, and it wouldn't go down. Well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. I said, that's fine, because I can nastily regurgitate it back and re-swallow. Can you guess what happened next? It didn't come back out. So I tried swallowing again, and it wouldn't budge. I started legitimately choking, and my bestie was staring in horror, telling me I was turning blue. Tears in my eyes, I tried so hard to breathe and just spit that shit out, but nothing was happening. After almost passing out, I finally somehow managed to spit it out. Best part, no one in the restaurant batted an eye. I even ordered food to go, and one of the workers slowly put the bag on the table with an outreached arm, as if he was too afraid to come near me after my near-death experience. Moral of the story, guys, girls, and non-binary people, chew your fucking food. I still struggle with it to this day, but I try my best to chew, especially meat and large foods that can get stuck. There's more I can share, but it'll take up an entire Freaky Friday. Love you all. Estrella. P.S. I attach photos of my cat, Princess Carolyn, and Judah Manow dog to lighten the mood. Yes, named after the BoJack Horseman characters. Look at those babies.
Oh, these kitty cats. There's something when cats are sitting together and mm-hmm. you get the behind view of just like their big old chunky bodies and butts mm-hmm. and they're smushed together and their little heads and their necks. There's mm-hmm. just something about that angle that really, it makes me feel good. I love a cat from behind, which you can quote me on that. They just look so funny laying there.
They do. Like with their big honking hides. They uh-huh. do. Look at those sweet babies. Well, first of all, yeah, chew your food. Unless my mom yes. is around, who has saved several lives with the Heimlich maneuver, I make sure I chew slowly and thoroughly. Yes. And I don't even act like I'm fixing to choke because she'll come at me and Heimlich me right away.
I was going to say, one, what the fuck restaurant? Dude, no one like- there stepping in to help or like employees or people there. Even bestie, yeah. if she's turning blue, punch get over the there and go Heimlich. Everyone should know how to give the Heimlich because choking is terrifying. If you've mm-hmm. ever like legitimately choked where you're like, oh my God, I can't, like- I really can't like breathe. It's mm-hmm. so panic inducing. So the fact that you were able to get it out on your own, good for you. I choked once on spaghetti And my mom had to give me the Heimlich at the dinner table.
Spaghetti, you think it's so like slippery and it would slip down.
Well, it's deceiving.
Got you, dude. It wasn't even a meatball. God damn. Well, yeah, I definitely think not only the Heimlich, but that thing I see there, it's like a mouth sucker. Oh, yeah.
After we talked about that on the podcast, George gave us one. We have one now.
Really? Yes. That's incredible. I'm like, every restaurant should just have that.
They should, yeah.
Like, I feel like it would just be better safe than sorry type of thing. But as to your other stories, I'm not sure. The oxtail might have some type of practitioner's meaning to it, but I think the good idea is to not eat it because it didn't seem refrigerated and unrefrigerated meat. But as for the door slamming, if y'all are both like fighting and getting a lot of energy up, that's what, now granted, you have to go back and listen to the episode, but that was not the infield haunting, but that poltergeist that we covered, and that where they would be like, the teddy bear had a knife, and then it would just be like a teddy bear and then a knife next to it, or they'd be like, the duck was gonna shoot us, and there was like a duck with a gun next to it, and it was like, what is this? But that guy's whole theory was like, a lot of like heightened emotions, especially in like children and like young people, can like energetically like raised to where if there was an entity, it like empowers the entity to like move things, and or you are like unknowingly psychokinetically moving things.
Yeah.
They also put a knife next to a duck.
Yeah. So. I believe in that story they came out saying it was a hoax and that they had done the whole thing themselves.
I know it was the boyfriend was like, people were like, we think the boyfriend was the hoaxer, but then they were like, no, we swear, like by the book. It's like always, you know, like the ghost people are like, no, we swear. Ed and Lorraine Warren said it was legit.
Oh, well, like, then it must be. Yeah. If you're talking about the type of lock I'm thinking of, it would be like the type on a screen door. Is that what?
Oh, that's what I was thinking. The metal piece that comes down, or the bolt. Or like it goes like,
you know, it's like the little like metal thing in that you put in the other side.
Yeah.
With a hook. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. So I might be wrong on the type of
lock. When you push it down, pull it out and push it down. Yeah, I'm not sure. But either way, it sounds like you'd have to do it with your hands versus being locked in as a 5 and 6 year old is a terrifying experience, regardless if it was a ghost or an accident.
Especially after you were in an argument. Maybe that brought y'all closer together.
Right? It's like, and stop fucking arguing. Well, thank you for sending that in. And thank you for sending them big chunky kitties in.
Oh, yes.
Sinisterhood will be right back. If your dog could talk, they'd warn you about what's lurking in their bowl. Mass-produced kibble isn't just unappetizing. It could be a crime against canine health. Mysterious byproducts, unpronounceable preservatives, and who knows what fillers. Sounds more like evidence from a crime scene than dinner. Ollie is here to crack the case on pet nutrition with fresh, human-grade meals made with the highest quality of ingredients. No mystery meats, no artificial junk, just real, minimally processed food made in U.S. kitchens. It's the kind of clean eating that keeps tails wagging and noses sniffing for more. Here's how it works. You fill out Ollie's 30-second quiz, and they'll create a customized meal plan based on your pup's weight, activity level, and other health info. Then you get expert recommendations. Ollie crunches the numbers and recommends the right recipes and daily portions for your precious pup based on hundreds of thousands of real dog results. Then get your welcome kit. For any first-timers, Ollie will send out your pup's first box with 2 weeks' worth of meals and a guide on how to gradually switch them over to their new diet. Finally, customize your plan. Ollie offers 3 meal plans to choose from, so you can choose between a full fresh plan, fresh topper plan, or a mixed plan with their freshly baked recipes for your special fur baby. They also have treats and supplements. Ollie is the only fresh dog food that comes with unlimited routine health screenings, so you can get your pup on track living their healthiest, happiest life. Tell you what, they've sent it to you. It really does have everything you need. They got the pup tainer. They got the scooper. The food has ingredients that are completely pronounceable. They're the type of things our dogs like. Our dog wants to eat human food anyway, so why not give them food that is human grade? I've also said it before. This isn't in the copy that I'm supposed to talk to you all about, but given that it is such high quality, I think in an apocalyptic situation, the dogs and I would be able to share this food. So that is the type of pet food I want to feed my dogs that I would feel comfortable if the shit hit the fan, that I would have some too. And that's how I feel about Ollie, not to mention their treats. The dogs love them. If they hear the Ollie bag a rattling, they come a running. That is the promise of Ollie, is it keeps those tails wagging. Like they said, dogs deserve the best. That means fresh, healthy food. Head to ollie.com/creepy. Tell them all about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today. Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box. So if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box. Well, this next one is from Tara Lynn, and the subject line is Zach Bagans, Haunted Museum. Love y'all, here we go. This is about Freaky Friday episode 16. Somebody mentioned paranormal stuff at Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum, and I can attest to that. Firstly, I don't care for Zach and his bros. He antagonizes spirits, then complains and cries when he gets touched or attacked. Eye roll. Anyway, TLDR, childhood best friend who moved to Oregon came back into town for the last Warped Tour, so this was 2019. The moment we entered the museum, it was uncomfortable, and it felt like someone was pushing down on our shoulders, like I was incapable of standing up straight. This place is full of things, wall to wall, top to bottom, and as a person who values her personal space, it was quite overwhelming. As we walked along, my friend started to feel boiling hot, became out of breath, started to profusely sweat. She doesn't normally sweat. Cool. Became red in the face, and she legitimately felt like a 300-degree heater was aimed right at her, and she couldn't get away from it. All I remember about the room is that there was a giant hole in the middle that was cordoned off. I think they said it was one of the gateways to hell or something. An associate walked her outside for some air, and I kept along with the tour. It was $60, y'all. I'm getting my money's worth. However, I began to get very lightheaded and was seeing white spots all over the place, the feelings you get before fainting. But I was very rooted in my stance. I could walk around just fine. I just felt like I was going to faint. It was weird. And like the listener in the Freaky Friday episode, I suddenly became very angry and annoyed. And I mean like 400% outraged and seeing red. When it was over, I met up with my friend in the souvenir shop and we bought our obligatory souvenirs. She got into the car to leave and she asked what I was so irritated about and chuckled because she was the one who was out $60 and didn't get to see the whole house. It wasn't until that moment that I even realized how angry I felt, and I was able to immediately calm down. And for the last experience of the day, not too long after we left and were on the road back to California, my friend and I became ice cold, freezing, like fully shivering, teeth chattering. This was Las Vegas in the summer, so it was probably 110 degrees. I wish I were kidding. It quickly dissipated and we just kind of moved on. Now that I think back on it, we haven't spoken about it since it happened, other than a simple, that was a weird day, statement between the both of us. Thanks for reading my story, on the pod or not. Love y'all.
Well, 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 Tara Lynn, I've got some explanations for this. Because I, too, felt like I couldn't get away from it all. And I also was escorted out because of all the fucking smells and scents and misty shit being blown around. And it is very overstimulating. It is packed with stuff.
There's shit in every corner and you are sort of herded through everything and you stand up the whole time. And it's funny because I've been going through all my notes from when we went and stuff. And this is it's crazy because they'll say something like, this is a portal to hell, and they'll have like stanchions around it. And then like 6 months later, it's just gone. Yeah. So I'll see like articles and like the guy when we went there and at the beginning, there was that other family and the guy was like, oh, do you like he has David Koresh's car, right? And they're like, no, he sold it. And so then it's like, oh, well, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, because I guess it's a rotating collection of artifacts.
Yeah, which or is it's so like the whims fucking of, gross anyways. Yeah. The whole place just made me. But also, but you go in and then it's like, I want to see the portal to hell. The portal to hell is not working today. The portal, hell isn't accepting anybody today. So we had to close it down for today.
Wait a goddamn minute. But I do think that there's some sort of correlation between sickness and nausea and a lack of oxygen because they have in the very entryway a picture of a lady who supposedly just passed out in the entryway in the Jack Kevorkian pre-room before you go see the bus. They talk about a lady like passed out and they show you footage of and passing out. So the fact that it's a poorly ventilated old building and then they're
in
like
Vegas, it's 110 fucking degrees outside.
And they'll just be like, people are just passing out. And I'm like, I have some thoughts on why. As a person who was like, I think I might lose consciousness just because my body wanted to like escape, right? Yeah. But I agree. The $60, you're like, well, I want to get my money's worth. And then it's like Seinfeld where it's like, you walk out. It's it's like a bad book, but you have to finish it. You wait for the movie.
And I think we paid $80 for the RIP, which I don't even think that did anything for me because it was like, do you want to crawl through this tunnel to the next room? And I was like, the fuck I do. I will walk on this spongy carpet. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It was wild that they're like, part of the RIP tour is you can hear a person get murdered.
Yeah. This audio. Not just murdered.
Ard and murdered. And yeah. You and Tommy and I were like, let's just wait in the Dybbuk box antechamber to let that part go on without yeah, us.
That was
but then
wild.
They give you like a free t-shirt, which I cannot find my free t-shirt.
Oh, really? I have three of them. So that's, maybe I have yours.
I was like, where's my free t-shirt? I paid for this.
I feel like we have three because one is so, first of all, they shrunk so much that I think I may have given mine to Ella as a sleep shirt because it's, now it's like a size small. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was like, we paid the extra money and I got a lanyard and I was supposed to get a shirt. And I was like, I don't have this shirt, but I'm not going to go buy a Zach Bagans shirt.
Well, I will look through our collection of Zach Bagans shirts and I'll give you one. The
oh,
one
thank
that,
you.
That should be yours.
I didn't like my visit to the Zach Bagans Museum.
No,
you gotta
I've also
add it to the top.
Never worn mine because I would be embarrassed to leave the house with it. And it's now it's too small and itchy.
Like the Profundity Yours t-shirts we got at the cafe,
dude.
Which I just found cleaning out the studio
dude,
and have them.
I have can't them believe in a you're bag. Mentioning this because just yesterday I saw this thing.
Was it about Linda?
No, I was like, I was out of pajamas and I just wanted like a big t-shirt to wear. And that was the only one I was like, I can't fucking wear this thing. And then my kids wake up in the morning and I've got, we drank the Kool-Aid shirt on. And they're like, what the hell does that mean? And now I got a lot of questions to answer before 8 a.m.
It's definitely one that you're like, this is a crazy walk to the school right now because I'm having to be like, the woman's named Linda Good-McGillis. She thinks she's from the Star Federation and she might be. We don't know. We can't decide. It's like, what's the Star Federation?
We went to a diner. Not bad food, honestly. It was pretty good.
So in that bag, there was a bar of soap that I also bought from the diner.
Yeah.
We used it. It was great soap.
Nice.
Because I looked on it and it was like, they hadn't made it. They had just like, it's from like a small manufacturer. It's like, whatever. But the shirt, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
They only had size 3XL.
They're humongous.
So
they're
that's why I was going to sleep in it, but I don't even sleep in it because Ella can read and I don't want to answer a bunch of questions.
She can read and she has access to a Google machine. So at one point it's going to be like, hey, Google, what's...
Oh my God,
know?
I didn't even think about that. What does drinking the Kool-Aid mean?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we're on our way to... dinner at a place and we're looking around for a parking spot and there's a bunch of signs that are like lock, take, hide, and you know, just normal so your car didn't get broken into. And she's like, what are all these signs for? Why would you need to lock, take, and hide? And I'm like, just so you know, don't leave something out that might tempt somebody to break in or something. She's like, do you think that a bad guy would break into our car? Do you think there's anything they would want in here? And I was like, honestly, 2016 Tiguan? No, probably not.
I mean, if you left a laptop in the kitchen.
Yeah, true.
But no, absinthe. Like, I think that about my car. I'm like, it's a 2016.
No,
like, little
but
crossover.
Then she was like, she kept talking about bad guys. I go, why are you talking so much? Why are you so worried about bad guys? She goes, well, there's a lot of people in this world and we just don't know what they're capable of. And I was like, are you listening to the show? Where did you get this?
Hey, Google, play Sinisterhood.
God damn. I really felt like she was quoting me back to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah, though.
Now that you mention it, though, we're going to have to put some restrictions because, yeah, they could totally access stuff from that Google Home, including our show.
But it is strange though when you walk in. My mom was over the other day and I heard us, like, I was like, Christy, and I was like, oh no, my mom's just listened to the episode. It's fine.
Is Christy out there talking about like, the Zizians with Nancy?
She was like, I just can't believe the beef Wellington. I was like, wait, here.
Oh dude,
no,
right,
was that episode. But yeah, well, thank you for sharing that story with us, because I'll tell you what, that is a memory of the Zach Bagans Museum. Like I told you, I've written like 25,000 words on it. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to have to turn it into a book. It's crazy business because I'm like obsessed with it.
It was crazy business. So I think crazy about it often, as much as I'm trying to block it out of my head at the same time.
Seriously. Well, thank you for bringing those memories back up for us, Taralyn. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This final one is from Michaela, and the subject line is Children of the Corn, or My Parents? Hello, ladies. I just got to say thank you for your podcast. You guys have no idea what you're doing for me in a really difficult time. Love y'all. Let's get to it. So my dad loves most scary movies, the oldies being more favored. Of course, I'm a daddy's girl and have always loved whatever he loves, so scary movies are the best. One night, during family movie night, my dad, stepmom, older brother, and I were watching Children of the Corn. That's it. We watched it. Well, the next night, my parents decided to have a little bonfire. We lived on a big property, and butting up to our yard was a cornfield with, yes, corn. The fire was pretty close to where the field was, but not close enough to catch anything on fire. It was dark out at this point. Our parents told us they were going inside to get stuff for s'mores. So me and my brother are just chilling out around the fire, waiting patiently, watching the fire and the stars and talking. Our parents were taking a bit longer than expected, but we didn't think much of it, when all of a sudden, we heard something. My big brother got closer to me. He's very protective over me and our baby sister, so I already knew he was about to fuck some Children of the Corn up for me, right? We kept sitting around the fire, hoping that it was just an animal and not some deranged children trying to get us to join their creepy cult or kill our parents. The corn moved. Footsteps were heard. Sounds were made. Weird sounds. And my brother grabbed me and took off running for the house. We turned back to see the freaky, creepy children running after us, but instead we just saw our stupid parents with big old smiles on their faces. How childish, right? Look, my dad's like that, though. One time, he had us play Fear Factor, quote-unquote, after watching the show, and he had me eat a ladybug in front of my pregnant stepmom. Yes, she threw up. Yes, I thought it was funny as hell. Yes, the bug tasted horrible. And no, it was not alive when I ate it. I also have some haunted stories about that same house, but that's for another time. Stay creepy. Bye-bye.
Play Fear Factor. Hey, kids, gather around the kitchen table. I got a family game night.
We're finna play Fear Factor. Oh, lay down in the coffin. Lay in the coffin I brought home.
Like, here, I'm gonna go collect a bunch of fucking bugs from outside and just dump them on top of you. And here, you're gonna have to eat some of them.
Yeah, watch. Hey, honey, come over and watch the kid eat a bug. I don't want to.
of course
that they would play Children of the Corn then, if that's like the MO. Man, corn stalks, there's some fucked up. There's a new movie, or if it hasn't already come out, it was scheduled to come out, and it's straight up just called Clown in a Cornfield.
What?
It was just like, well, let's just, okay, that's cool, I guess.
No, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, 2025 film. I think it already came out, maybe. Uh-oh. It's not got great reviews. 55% on Metacritic. Came out in May, yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to watch it one night.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, I believe it is as advertised that a clown emerges from a cornfield.
Well, you know what you're getting.
On the package right
there. Every time I read stories like this, I get a little bit closer to seeing what my future is going to look like. But I always stop myself with, like, would they think it was funny, or am I going to traumatize them? But then sometimes I'm like, but if Tommy and I thought it was funny, I don't know, man. Once they get to a certain age.
Yeah, it's like, it depends on how they, if they like to be like scared. Yes. And like, there's some kids that just like loved that. And I was always like the baby that would cry if I got scared. I would be like, I was too scared. But I feel like Shannon was a scarer and liked that. And mm-hmm. You would get a thrill out of it.
So. I'm not going to make anybody ladybugs or play Fear Factor. No. I promise you that. I might run out of a cornfield to scare a group of kids at a that are just roasting marshmallows.
Yeah, no, that's fun. Where it's like, what? We weren't trying to scare you. We were just coming up through the cornfield. It's like, you guys. Those are the good memories, though. Marshmallow s'mores, like around the campfire, family memories, even if you did think you were going to get taken by a freaky child cult.
I love it. It's probably part of your illustrious family lore now, which involves many fun things.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you for sending that one in for us, Michaela.
Thank you so much, so Michaela. And thank you so much to everybody for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy you've caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. We'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email on Patreon and you get access to that, plus a backlog of free stuff for you to enjoy as well.
Hell yeah. And if you don't know what we do over on Patreon, you want to like kick around what's going on, we have a free trial where you join for free for a week. You check out all of the perks of whatever tier you choose. You might as well choose the highest tier. And then if you cancel anytime before the trial is over, you won't get charged. But if you do stick around, opt for that annual membership so you get 1 month free. And when you get that, what else might you get?
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, and quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner, check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover. Plus, you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025 and Season of the Witch at Texas Theater on October 4th.
Can't wait to see y'all there. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube. By the way, everybody, thank you so much for getting us to 10,000 YouTube subscribers. We got to 10. Now we just need to get to 20, then 30, then 50. And then I'm going to email Jeff and Shalea and be like, in your face, bitches.
In your
and they're going to go, who
Hopefully
are
they're
you?
In prison by then.
Yeah, I'm going to send them prison mail. It says, in your face, bitches. And so thank you very much. If you have not subscribed on our YouTube, help us spite these cult leaders by going to youtube.com/sinisterhoodpodcast.
Plus, there's
click
a lot
subscribe.
Of fun stuff to watch. You can see us. Not only you can that. See me break down and cry earlier.
There's full video versions of our Wednesday episodes. We're doing short versions of our Freaky Friday ones, plus all shorts and a lot more. Plus, there's TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast where you can watch clips. Sometimes we go live. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever, we would love to help you celebrate by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect when you don't want to deal with going somewhere and choosing something. And it gets delivered right to your phone in a way that the person's never had a gift like this before because everyone is new. We started doing tarot pulls on some of them.
Yes,
McGruff did
so
a tarot
fun.
Pull, which was very
McGruff
fun.
McGruff did a tarot pull and he nailed it.
He did. It was a good stack. It was a good one. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and book yours now. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Twitter. No, I'm not.
That website's defunct.
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere on the internet, and someday I'm sure I'll put my Zach Bagans manifesto out at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinning.